Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Ayin Zayin. And we're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Sidney Rosenblum, Pinchas Zelig Ben Yisrael Moshe. Well, the Nishans we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin on Ayin Zayin Omer Aleph, about 14, 15 lines down from the top, with the words Omar Rabbah. Now, the Girsa that we have here is Omar Rabbah, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Nachman, but on the side of them, Sasha says the Girsa should be Omar Rabbah Bar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Nachman. Whoever it was that said this in the name of Rav Nachman, they said as follows. Kosel, if you have a wall, Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. Yesterday we introduced in the beginning of our perek this concept that two Chatzeros that are next to each other can sometimes join together and make one big Eruv Chatzeros because they're one entity. Sometimes they are not allowed to join together. They must make two separate Eruv Chatzeros because there's no connection between them, no Pesach between them. And sometimes it's a fielder's choice. There's some sort of a Pesach between them, which if they wish to, they can take advantage of. But if they don't wish to, it doesn't ruin it, and they don't have to necessarily combine into one single entity. So this statement is being made in the name of Rav Nachman about a wall between two chatzeros, tzido echod govoa asora tfochim. One side of the wall, it's 10 tfochim from the ground up to the top of the wall, and that would be a valid mechitza, a valid separation between the two sides. But on the other side, the ground isn't even, it's elevated. Tzido echod shavu la'aretz. The wall goes up. Now, when it says shovel aretz, it doesn't literally mean that it's even. At the top wall on one side, you have pictures of this in the art scroll in footnote number 17. You can also see this in the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara. In the Pirush Chai, this can be found on page 156, diagram 17, and the Illustrated Gemara, page 83, diagram 249. And all of them show that the two yards aren't flat with each other. One is raised higher than the other. And the wall goes up from the ground on the lower side, 10 tefachim, so that side has a valid full-fledged mechitz, as I said. And on the other side, it says over here in the Gemara, tzido echad shavu la'aretz, but it doesn't mean that it's even, as I said a moment ago. It means that it's higher than the ground, but it's not 10 tefachim from the ground up to the top of the wall. That's the scenario that we're talking about. So, one more time. You have this wall in between the two courtyards that is 10 tefachim up from the ground on one side, and it's less than 10 tefachim up from the ground on the other side. So who gets to use the top of this wall? There is no Pesach in between them, so therefore it is considered these are two separate chatzeros. So nosdin oso lozeh sheshove lo aretz. We give it the halachic right to use the top of this wall, we give it to the side. Again, we're assuming right now, according to most poskim, that the top of this wall is four tefachim wide. So therefore, only one side gets to use it because it's a separate reshus hayachid. So nosin oso lezeh sheshavel aretz, we give it to the side that has the lower wall. In other words, the side that doesn't have 10 tefachim from the bottom to the top of the wall. And as again, I pointed out, Rashi says over here, kol kama delo gavo yud, when it's not yud tefachim, so we call that korele shovel aretz. It's called even with the ground, but it's not even with the ground. So who gets to use the top of the wall? We give it to the side that is the lower side, the side that is less than 10 tefachim. Why is that? Mishum dahavale tashmisho benachas, ulezeh tashmisho bekasha. Because the side that has the lower wall, they're more easily able to use the top of this wall. And the other side, which has the 10 tefachim, it's higher up, and it's more difficult for them to use the top of the wall. And we have a rule, when one side can use it easily, and one side cannot use it so easily, so we give it to the side that is more able to easily use it. As opposed to in yesterday's share, each of them had equal rights and equal ease in using it, so then we said, according to the Chachamim, that you wouldn't be allowed to bring it down into the courtyard. And according to Reb Shimon, who said that all the courtyards are one, said you wouldn't be allowed to bring it down from the wall and bring it into the houses, albeit you could bring it, both sides could bring it into their courtyards. So this is the first case from today. It's an add-on to what we learned yesterday, another additional din. Now we're going to have almost the exact opposite case in terms of, now we were talking about a wall going up. The next case is going to be about a ditch going down. And you can see this in the art scroll in footnote number 20. You can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 18 on page 156. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 84 in diagram number 250. And all of them are going to show the same thing. which we're now going to learn in the Gemara, where you have a ditch in between these two sides. So ditches going down, 10 tefachim, are the equivalent of a wall going up. We've said this many times. In halacha, mechitza can be going up or mechitza can be going down. So Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Nachman. Here we have Rav Shizvi saying this in the name of Rav Nachman. Before we had, it was either Rabba Bar Rav Huna or Rabba saying it in the name of Rav Huna, who said it in the name of Rav Nachman. Here Rav Shizvi is telling us this din in the name of Rav Nachman. Since both statements are in the name of Rav Nachman, we'll ultimately have to ask, how come he has to give two very similar statements? So Rav Shizvi says the name of Rav Nachman here. Choritz, you have a ditch. Shebein Shnei Chatzeros, in between these two courtyards. And again, analogous to what we just said, the two courtyards are in parallel. One is higher than the other. So the ditch goes down on one side, Tzido Echot Amokasara, from the floor of one courtyard, the ditch goes 10 Tvachim down, creating a full valid Mechitza. But on the other courtyard, the ground is already lower. So from that lower ground until the bottom of the ditch is less than 10 Tvachim. Tzido Echot Shovel Aretz. Again, we use the terminology Shovel Aretz, but we mean that it's just less than 10 Tvachim. So in this situation as well, we give the rights to use this ditch to place things in this ditch and to bring it from the ditch into the courtyard back and forth according to Chachamim, or even according to Rabbi Shimon, bringing it from the ditch into their houses. We give it to the court that has the lower yard, because again, there's two possibilities here: to give it to the courtyard that has easier use to it, the lower one has easier use to it, and the other one has more difficult use to it. And the chule, which is the same conclusion that we had before, whenever you have lazer tashmisho the nachas, the lazer tashmisho bekasha, so the rule is nos to noso lazer tashmisho benachas. When you have to give it to one of the two, or you could give it to one of the two, give it to the one that can use it more easily. So Rav Nachman basically stated this thing twice. First he said it for a wall, and then he said it for a ditch. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, I would have figured this out on my own. So why do you need him to say it twice? So the Gemara says, Tzricha, no, each one is a Chiddush, because the Yashbinon Kosel, if he only gave us the first case with the wall, you know what I would have said? Mishum de Begova Mishtash Mishe Inshe. Because going up, it's easy for people to use something. And therefore, in this situation, there's a concept over here of Tashmisho Koshe and Tashmisho Benachas. So yeah, it makes sense to give it to the Tashmisho Benachas. But when you're dealing with a ditch, Aval Choritz, Ba'umka lo mishtam shinshe. People don't put things in ditches so commonly. So I might have said it doesn't make any difference. We treat the ditch just because one side's a little bit easier to use it, the other side's a little bit harder to use it, still makes no difference because people don't use ditches. As Rashi says, both of them are essentially tashmisho b'kosha. So therefore, we might say that since nobody can easily use it, neither side gets to easily use it, and it's the same as if they had a wall in between them that was 10 tefachim above from both of them. So that's why we needed the first case. V'yashmin v'choritz, if you only told me the second case, I would have said, mishum d'lo b'isa tashmishta. The only reason why Rav Nachman said that you're allowed to have the side that can use the ditch more easily use the ditch in the second case is because there's no risk over here. As Rashi points out, lo bo'isa tashmishte, masha miniach bo mishtame. Things don't fall off a ditch. So therefore, it's going to be very safe and secure. And therefore, the side that has more easily usage, they should be the ones to get it. However, avo kosel, but putting things on top of a wall, the bi'isa tashmishta, that you have a concern about using it. As Rashi says, shenoflan hachafatzim. The chafetzim, they could fall off easily from a wall. Therefore, I might have thought that both sides are considered not so easy to use it. I would have said maybe both sides are considered tashmisho b'kosha, and therefore we shouldn't give one right over the other. Emalau, therefore tzricha. So there's a tzad lahokel in both situations, and therefore he wanted to point out, Rav Nachman wanted to tell us that in both situations there is this concept of when you have the chose benachas, chose b'kosha, if one side could more easily use it, more safely use it, and the other side would be more difficult to use it, more risk in using it, so then we give it to the side that has tashmisho benachas. Okay. Gemara continues and says, bolimato, you have over here the wall in between two courtyards. It's a 10 tefach wall on both sides. Both sides are flush with each other, and you have the wall in between them. And now, what do you want to do? You want to come and lower it. We're talking here about lowering the wall, and you can see diagrams of this only in the Pirush Chai on page 157. in diagram number 19. And he basically, if you have that safer and you're looking at those diagrams, he shows you the three different scenarios that we're talking about here, that you could lower the wall. How do you lower the wall? Bolamato. So Rashi explains that what you're doing is also tail offer lamata. You put next to the wall. You don't touch the wall. What you do is you put a mound of dirt next to the wall, the karka on the ground, somach l'kosel, and therefore what you've essentially done is you've lowered the wall by raising the ground. That's choice number one. You can see this in the Pirush Chai. This is in the middle picture, what's labeled as Aleph in diagram 19 on page 157. Second one is obono itzdaba, or you made some sort of a platform. That's bays in that diagram. And this is basically putting down some sort of a platform that you're stepping on, like a stepping stool, that now makes the wall from the height of the itzdaba to be less than 10 tvachim. Or the third opportunity is ohiniach shom pispisim. You put some sort of rocks or again, some sort of a mound that you're making with little pieces of wood or rocks, and this will go and elevate the ground so that the top of the wall from this elevation is less than 10 tefachim. So this is what's called bolamato. If you go and lower the wall, what you're doing is not lowering the wall, you're raising the ground. So im yesh b'miyuto arbo, if the length of this raised area is 4 tvachim. Again, we're not talking about the width of the wall. We're talking about it running, the length of the wall, it's running at least 4 tvachim. If it's running at least 4 tvachim, so now you have minimized the wall for a significant distance. Dalat tvachim is considered a significant distance. And therefore, mutu lishtamesh b'kol hakosu kula. That side, again, the raised, elevated dirt or mound or platform that you put there is only on one side. So now that side halachically is considered not having the wall as a full 10 tefach barrier, as a mechitza. It's less than that for at least 4 tefachim, so that side now has the rights to use the top of the wall. According to Chachamim, they'll be able to carry now from the top of the wall into their courtyard and back and forth, vice versa. According to Rabbi Shimon, they can even bring it into the house. So, mutal ishtamesh b'kol ha-kosel kula, they would be allowed to use the entire kosel. V'im lav, however, if that was not the case, it wasn't elevated for a distance of 4 tefachim, so then they get some rights, but not full rights. En mishtamesh elo kineged hamir. They would only be allowed to use that part of the wall that was lowered, because only on that part was the ground elevated. But since it's not more than 4 tefachim, they don't get the rights to the entire top of the wall, but they would have the rights at least to that part that is now lower than 10 tefachim, the part that is raised, but raised less than 4 tefachim in its length, but it is for those 3 tefachim, let's say that it's that the mound is there, for those 3 tefachim on the top of the wall, they would have exclusive rights to use it. But the Gemara is not happy with this. The Gemara says, wait a second, Manushach, whichever way you want to look at it, we have a problem. If you're telling me that when it's less than 4 tefachim long, it works for that area, so the 3 tefachim, let's say, that the mound is there on the ground, so that side has the right to use that wall for those 3 tefachim, so why not say, b'kulei kosel ishtamesh, then they should be able to use the rest of the wall as well. Once you give them part of the wall, why don't they have the whole wall? And e lo ahani, and if saying it doesn't work, so then why should it work for that little 3 tefachim part? Afilu kineged amiyut, nami lo. Again, Mimanushach, the Gemara is saying, either it should work totally or it shouldn't work at all. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, no, that's not true. Kegon sha'aka chuyo mirosho. You know what? It's not the case that we were talking about. It's not diagram number 19 on page 157 in the Pirush Chai that we're referring to here, where you elevated the bottom. But this is actually, in that diagram, you can see what is dalit, which is that you made a hole or a removal of something on the top of the wall. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 84 in diagram number 251. The art scroll does not have a diagram for this. And what it basically is saying is that you removed a little piece of the wall. And you can see this in Rashi, Dibro Maschol Om Ravina. Lav milamata skin. We're not talking about that you have the elevated ground, the mound on the ground. The Hasam Vade Botsimi Dalit there in a situation. If it's less than Dalit, Lo Mahani Lamidi, then it doesn't help at all. You're right. The Manushat that we said is if it doesn't help for the entire world, then it doesn't even help for that little 3 tvachim area. Ella, you know what we're talking about here? Kigon Sha'okar Chulyomi Rosha. You took away some of the bricks from that top of the wall. Me go from the top part, shokosu kari rosho, that's called the ted, the top part. Kidnan, haibu rosho. peiros. If we had, as we said previously, if on its head, which means the top, there were fruits. Now, hilkach. I have a miuto arbo orech. If this taking away the bricks was actually four tefachim along the length of the wall, then havi piska. That is called a valid pesach l'chol akoso for the entire wall. But sir mihachi, however, it's less than four tefachim, piska u dilo havi. A pesach, it's not. Avoli ishtamushe be shari. But to use it, you're allowed to. To keep in the logo vayud, lo havi rishusa. Since it's not more than 10 tefachim tall now, because you took away some of the bricks, it's not considered a separate entity. This would presumptively be like the Mokum Ptur that we talked about in yesterday's shir, and both sides would be able to use it. That's a simple way to understand this. Others say, and this is not like the diagrams that we have in either the Pirush Chai or in the Illustrated Gemara, but some say, no, you didn't remove the entire width of the wall, the bricks, but you only did it on one side. So that one side has access, and only that one side has access to the part of the wall that's been removed by taking away the bricks on one side, but it's not through and through. And the other side, the wall is still there. Finally, the last question is, how come with a platform of three tefachim, if we talked about the elevated ground, why doesn't that constitute, we said, that mimonoshach, if it's not good for the three tefachim, so then it's not good at all. So why not? Why don't we say that it's good? So the bottom line understanding is that three tefachim is not really enough to stand on. It's too small to stand on, and that's why we say if it's less than four tefachim, it's as if it's nothing. Gemara continues, says, Amar Rav Yechiel, Rav Yechiel tells us, Kofo Seifel, if you overturn a basin or a bucket and use that to elevate the ground, this would be equivalent to the mound of either the dirt or the pieces of wood or stones or the platform that we had in the previous case. And you can see what we're talking about over here with the overturned Seifel in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 20 on page 157, or the Illustrated Gemara in page 84, diagram number 252. So you're basically using over here an overturned basin or a bucket, a container of some sort, and memait, and that essentially does for at least tefachim, it makes the wall not be 10 tefachim tall. So what is the halacha in this situation? He says it's mamayit. It does in fact accomplish this to make that side that has the seifel there can use the top of the wall and the other side cannot. So the Gemara says, why? Vamai. If you're talking here about on Shabbos, which is of course what we're talking about, Dover Hanita B'Shabbosu, you could easily remove this seifel, this basin, and the Dover Hanita B'Shabbos, in a mamayit. How does it work? If you're able to move it, so then it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, lo. No, that's not what we're talking about. This is somehow inserted into the ground in a way that it's not able to be removed. Tzricha, the chiddush over here is the chabre bi'ara. We're talking here that it was attached to the ground, and therefore it can't be removed. It's not a davar nitol b'shabbos, and therefore in this situation, it is considered a valid elevation on that side that has this seifel, and that side will get to use the top of the wall. Where it says, even though you're mechabrit, v'chi chabre ba'ara, even though you're attaching it to the ground in some way, how does that help? My havi. You're still allowed to go and remove it on Shabbos. So therefore, it is considered a dover anita b'Shabbos, and something that is a dover anita b'Shabbos, eino mimayit. It doesn't go and reduce that floor on that site, because you can take it away. So therefore, why does this help? And where do we see that if something is attached to the ground, it still is considered a dover nitel b'Shabbos, and therefore it should be eino memayit? V'atayin, because we learned in a braisa, paga shehitmina b'tevin. We learned this previously, that if you have a paga, is a fig that hasn't fully matured yet. It's not edible right now. So what do they do? After they had cut it for whatever the reason from the tree, they would put it into the ground, shehitmina b'tevin. They would put it into some straw or into the ground. Or the charora shitmino becholim, or they had a piece of cake and they want to keep it nice and warm, so they left it in the coals, and the coals are muktzah, the straw is muktzah. So how are you going to get it out from there? So in megula miktzasa is if at least a little piece of the paga was visible on the top, revealed on the top, or a little bit of the cake was on top of the coals. So then all you have to do is pull it by the piece that's visible, the part that's not totally buried in the straw or in the coals. So you take that part that is Magula and you pull that Nitalis b'Shabbos. You're allowed to go and pull it out on Shabbos. The coals will move, the straw will move. That's called Tiltum and Atzad, and Tiltum and Atzad doesn't bother us. So therefore, this is a Dover HaNital b'Shabbos. And as we just said before, Dover HaNital b'Shabbos Einu Memayid, it's not considered permanently attached over there, and therefore it doesn't make the size of the wall diminished, and therefore you have a regular full yutvachim on both sides, and therefore neither side should be able to use the wall according to the Chachamim to bring down from the wall into their courtyard, or vice versa, according to Rav Shimon, to bring it into the house. So Gemara says, no. Hachamai Eskin, you know what we're talking about? It is mechubar lekarka. In what way? The islay ognayim. It has some sort of a handle. So this basin has some sort of a rim or handles that have the dirt on top of them. And now it has this ognayim with the dirt on top of it, and you can't pull away the seifel without moving this dirt. And therefore, it is considered, in this situation, a dover she'eno nitol b'Shabbos. Where it says, no, we still have a problem. V'chi isli ognayim. Okay, so it has this. My havi, how does that help us? V'tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, ha'tomein lefes utznon tachas agef. And we had, again, similarly to what we just brought down, if you have insulated in the ground, you have a lefes, which is a turnip, or a stone, which is a radish, and you put it underneath a geffen. A geffen is a vine. And you put it there in order that it should either be not getting spoiled or should mature in this storage. So, bisman, we turn to the Amud Beis, during the time she mixes alim and gulam, as long as some of this turnip or radish is visible on the top, in other words, it's not totally buried in the ground, so then, eino choshesh, then we have no concerns over here of the following, all the possible concerns that you might have in pulling up this thing from the ground. Again, it wasn't attached to the ground as a growth. It had been placed in the ground when it was already detached. The radish or the turnip had already been detached from the ground, and now it's just putting back into the ground for storage. So as long as some of the top is still visible, and you can pull it from that without touching the dirt directly, so then, eino choshesh, number one, lo mishum kilayim. If this is a vine, so you're not allowed to plant vegetables in a vineyard. So there is no concern over here for kilayim. That's why I told us the case was specifically you put it underneath the vine. So there's no concern of kilayim because it's not planted. Number two, below mishum meiser, you don't have to take off trumas and meisers again because it already had trumas and meisers taken from it. Now again, it didn't get attached to the ground. It's just insulated in the ground. It's just placed in the ground. If it grows roots and it gets attached to the ground, then you do have to be concerned with trumas and meisers. But here, it was just insulated in the ground. It's just being put in the ground for protection. So there's no concern with kilayim because it's not a growth. There's no concern of meiser. You don't have to take off additional trumas and meisers. Likewise, if this was a shmita year, you don't have a problem that you planted something in a shmita year. Lo mishum shviyas. And that's all these things that we're not interested right now for our Gemara. And here's the point that we're interested for our Gemara. V'nitalim b'Shabbos. This is called tiltum min atzad. The dirt that you're removing from it falls off on its own. You didn't directly remove the dirt. And therefore, this is a dover nital b'Shabbos. And again, if it's a dover nital b'Shabbos, it's eino mimayit. So our kasha returns. So Gemara concludes and says, no, lo. Rabbi Yechiel, when he taught us this din, he taught it to us, tzricha. The chiddush was the bayimara v'chatzina, that this was actually really placed well into the ground to the point where you couldn't go and just remove it by picking up the basin, by picking up the seifel. You have to take a shovel, a mara v'chatzina, you have to take some sort of tools and go and remove this basin. It was really deeply embedded in the ground. Since it's deeply embedded in the ground, and you're not allowed to go and dig it up on Shabbos, it's not called a Dover Nitol b'Shabbos, and if it's not called a Dover Nitol b'Shabbos, this is no different than the Itztava, the platform, or the mound of dirt, the tail that we had in the previous scenario, and therefore it is considered a true diminution of the size of the wall, because it goes more than 4 tvachim, and it makes that 4 tvachim area, the size of the wall, less than 10 tvachim tall, and therefore it is going to give the rights to usage of the wall to that side. Now the Gemara says, what about Sulam HaMitzri? If you have a ladder known as a Sulam HaMitzri, a certain type of a ladder, you can see this in the diagrams in the Illustrated Gemara in page 85, diagram number 253, or in the Pirush Chai in page 157, diagram number 22. And basically, I'm giving you the punchline from the Gemara, the Sulam HaMitzri is a much smaller ladder, which, as we'll see, can easily be removed. It's like a little step ladder, as opposed to the sulam that we're going to be talking about, this known as a Sulam Hatsuri, the ladder that came from Tzur. So that is a much more substantive ladder, and that is considered a legitimate Pesach from one side to the other, as we'll see in a moment. So we start off by telling us that this Sulam HaMitzri, this less substantive type of a ladder, isn't considered Mamayit, in Mamayit. It would be the analogous case to where you have something that's insignificant raising the ground, that's either less than 4 tvachim along its length, or it's something that's removable, Dover Anital, and therefore it's not considered a permanent diminution in the size of the wall. So Sulam HaMitzri, Enom HaMayit, it's not going to do anything. However, Vahatsuri, if you have a Sulam Hatsuri that came from Tzur, so that does essentially diminish the wall, and that side will be able to use the top of the wall. What's the difference between the two? I already gave you the answer. Hechidami Sulam HaMitzri. So what is the definition of a Sulam HaMitzri? So Amrei Dvei Rav Yana, in the base manager of Rav Yana, they said, Kol She'en Lo Arba'o Chavokim. It doesn't have rungs. It doesn't have four rungs. In other words, it's a little step stool. It doesn't have a lot of the rungs, and therefore it can easily be removed. As Rashi says, Hoel v'kotenhu v'noach litlo misham, since it's small, it's very easily movable, and it's not going to be permanently placed there, eino memai. It doesn't go and diminish that side of the wall. As opposed to the Sulam Hatsuri, which does. It has many more rungs, and therefore it is more substantive, it's not so easily moved, and it will diminish the size of the wall. As the Gemara now tells us, Amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rava l'Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, who was the son of Rava, said to Rav Ashi, my time of the Sulam HaMitzri de Lomayit. Why does a Sulam HaMitzri not diminish the size of the wall? How come it is considered insignificant? So Amalei, so Rav Ashi told him, Lo Shmielach, didn't you hear, Hod Amar Rav Acha Barada, Amar Rav Amnuna, Amar Rav, didn't you hear the statement that was made by Rav Acha Barava, Ada, in the name of Rav Amnuna, who said in the name of Rav, Mishum Dahavale Dover Shinito B'Shabbos, because as we just said with the Seifel, it's easily removed. It's Dover Nito B'Shabbos. You're allowed to pick this up on Shabbos. It's not attached to the ground in any way. It's not considered a muksa item. It's allowed to be moved on Shabbos. And the rule is, V'chol Dover Shinito B'Shabbos, Einu Mamayit. And just like with the Seifel, something that can be moved on Shabbos is not considered permanently placed there and won't diminish the size of the wall. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's true, so why not by a Sulam Hatsuri? Why should it be any different? It's also Dover Nito B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, like I already told us, Hosom Kovdo Kovo. It's much heavier, as Rashi says, Umitoshu Kove, since it is such a heavy item, ain't no Samisham. People don't pick it up and move it. Not because it's muktza, not because it is asu to move it, it's just difficult. It weighs 100 pounds. So therefore, it is considered something that is not nital b'Shabbos. And something that's not nital b'Shabbos does in fact reduce the height of the wall. And that's the difference between the Sulam HaMitzri and the Tzuri type of ladders. Gemara continues and discusses a similar type of a case. Again, we're talking about the two chatzeros, which have a wall in between them, and we're figuring out a way how to connect them. There is no Pesach, there is no window or door in between them, and yet we'd like them to be able to, if they wish, participate in a single Erev Chatzeros, so they can carry from one Chatzer to the other. So Amar Abayi, Kol Shur Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, you have this wall in between two Chatzeros, and Gavoa Asar Tvachim, the wall is more than 10 Tvachim tall, which is a problem in terms of now they're separate entities, but V'hiniach Sulam Rochav Arba Mikan, but you place a ladder that is wide 4 Tvachim, in other words, the ladder will go against the wall, and stretch the length of the wall for at least a distance of 4 tvachim, and they do this on one side of the chatzer, and likewise on the other side of the chatzer, the sulam rochav arba mikan, they also have a ladder that is 4 tvachim wide. Now you can walk up each of these ladders and get to the top of the wall. Is this going to be a Pesach or not? If you're having trouble picturing this, you can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 23 on page 157, or in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram 254 on page 85. So you have these two ladders, one on each side of the wall, and it depends how close they are to each other. As we'll see in the Gemara, we're dealing with a top of the wall that is less than 4 tvachim itself in width, so you can't easily walk on top of the wall. Otherwise, we'll see the din will be different. So you have these two ladders, a narrow wall separating them, And the halacha is the ein bein zeh lozeh shlosha tefachim. If the two ladders are stationed that they're within three tefachim of each other, one is on one side of the wall, one's on the other side of the wall, but they're within three tefachim of each other. So then, in this situation, mamayit, we consider halachically that this is a pesach. Now we have halachically created a pesach. We're using the term mamayit here as a somewhat of a borrowed term from what we were just talking about to say that one side is lower and it can use the top. But here we're saying that this is a valid pesach. The two ladders are basically doors that are close enough to each other that you can go from one chotzer to the other chotzer. As Rashi points out, klomar afilu eina mechuvanim zeh kenegzeh, even if they're not directly aligned one to the other. However, avol ein meruchokim zeh mechenegzeh zeh gimel, but they're within three tefachim of each other, and through the principle of lava, that means they're essentially opposite each other. They're considered hevu kimechuvanim. They have a pesach. This functions now as a door. And therefore, im ratzu ma'ar v'nechod, if they wish to, they can now combine in the single eruv chatzeros. However, if it's more than three tefachim apart, avol meruchokin zeh mechenegzeh zeh gimel tefachim, la pesach, it doesn't function as a pesach, and therefore it's not memayit. And that's what the Gemara says, shloshif, the more than three tefachim apart, ain't a memayit. However, Abaye says, v'lo amor, and we only said this, as I alluded to a moment ago, elo delo have a kosel arba. That's when the top of the wall is not at least four tefachim wide. Because if the top of the wall is not four tefachim wide, then it's narrow, as Rashi says, b'kosel tzar, it's a narrow wall, she'ein noach lahalich alavu. The Bach changes the gears around a little bit, elo, he says, "Bekosel tzor she'ein biroch v'dalid she'ein noach lahalecholav." It's not easy to go and walk on it, and therefore it is not going to be a pesach because you can't get from one ladder to the other because the wall is too narrow. However, Avol Abaye says, "Have a kosel arba if the wall is at least four tefachim wide, so then it's easily walkable upon it. That's 2 feet; a person could walk on this wall. So even though the ladder is stationed at one end of the wall, and the other ladder is stationed all the way at the other end of the wall, it's still considered a valid Pesach, because you go up one ladder, you walk on the top of the wall, until you get to the other ladder, which could be 10 feet away, not a problem. Then you go down the other ladder, that's considered a Pesach. Aval hevi kosel arba, afilu muflok tuva, even if they're very far apart, one could be all the way at one extreme, one could be all the way at the other extreme of the wall, it is considered even if it's muflog tuva nami, even if they're very far apart, it is considered a pesach. As Rashi says, yesh baruch vodal, if the top wall has four tefachim width to it, even if they're very far apart, if you muflog tuva shahari ola l'rosho, b'halach b'rosho, ash b'gilu sulam chaver, because you can walk on top of the wall. Another case, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Bibar Abaye. Rabbi Bibar Abaye says the following scenario, bono itztaba al gav itztaba. And itztaba was a platform, and we're talking here about on one side of the wall, you're building a platform. We had discussed early in the shiur that if you build up some sort of a platform, so then you're memayit the wall, and then the wall will be less than 10 tefachim. You know, in this situation, you're building a platform and then another platform on top of it. There's a crucial rule that Rashi tells us. We'll see this inside in a moment. Miut ba'avir lav shmei miut. If you have some miut, some diminution, but it's not from the ground. It's somehow in the middle. We'll see how this can occur. So then, this miut is not considered an adequate miut of the ground up to the top of the wall. What do we mean? If you build an itztaba on top of an itztaba, you have one platform on top of another platform. Here you can see a diagram of this in footnote number 17 in the Art Scroll, or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 85. Diagram number 256, and we'll use 257 in a moment as well. And you can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 158, and diagram number 25. Now, in this situation, you have a platform on top of another platform, so it will depend how far apart they are and how wide they are, because we need the principle of having the platform being at least four tefachim wide in order for it to be able to minimize the ground, and we also have the principle of love with the things that are within three tefachim from each other are considered as if they're halachically connected. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Barabai, im yesh be'itzdava hatachtoni, if the bottom part of the platform is arba, it is four tefachim wide, and in and of itself, it has a significant height that it will be minimizing the 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. So then, mamayit, it alone can do it. The fact that there's a top part of the platform is irrelevant. It doesn't hurt us at all. Alternatively, inami ein betachtona arba. The bottom platform doesn't have a width of four, and therefore it's not sturdy enough to stand on and to be mamayit. However, V'yesh bal yona arba, but the top one is four tvachim wide. Again, you can see this in the diagrams in the Illustrated Gemara on page 86, diagram number 257, and in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 26. So here, you have the top platform having four tvachim in a width, and Ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha, and they're within three tvach of each other. So the principle of lavud halachically fills them in. So even though the top platform is not on the ground, and otherwise it would be considered a platform in the air, and a platform in the air, as I pointed out before, is not considered a platform, lav shmei mir, it won't be able to go and minimize the height. Nevertheless, since it's within three tvachim, lavud, of the bottom one, so even though the bottom one isn't four tvachim, it combines and is mamayit. And this is a good functional diminution of the size of the wall to allow it to be mamayit. Another way you can do this, if you have sulam sheshlivos of parchos, if you have a ladder that has rungs in it, Rashi says the lashon of parchos is that you have one on top of the other, and it's as if there's like flying one on top of the other. And again, you can see diagrams of this in the art scroll next to footnote number 20, and you can see this as well in the Illustrated Gemara on page 86, diagram number 258, and in the Pirush Chai on page 158, diagram number 28. And in all of these situations, you have this ladder that's leaning against the wall with the steps, so to say, being projected out from the ladder. So, im yesh b'shliva tachtona, if the bottom rung has arba, it is four tvachim wide, and Rashi also points out that it's within three tvachim of the ground. Otherwise, it's going to be a miut ba'avir, which is lav shmei miut. So as long as it's within three tvachim of the ground, it's considered on the ground. And as long as it's four tvachim wide, so then the entire ladder will serve over here to be mamayit. Perfectly good. Im yesh b'shliva tachtona arba, it's mamayit. Alternatively, inami, ein b'shliva tachtona arba, the bottom rung isn't four tvachim wide. You can see this very nicely in the diagrams in the Illustrated Gemara, which shows you that the ladder is widening as it goes up. So in diagram number 258, you can see this very clearly in the left ladder in the diagram. So if you have the ladder rung at the bottom not being four tvachim wide, it's within three tvachim of the ground, but it's not four tvachim wide. But the upper rungs, v'yesh b'shliva yona arba, the upper rungs do have a four tefach wide distance, or the topmost one at least has a four tefach wide distance, and since the principle of lavud, ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha, would mean that we view the ladder as being totally filled in, so even if it's only the top rung that has four, as the diagram 258 shows, so the lavud principle means that all the way up from the ground until this top rung of four tefachim is considered filled in. So it's not considered miut ba'avir, but it's considered directly on the karka. So in this situation as well, mamayit, it does work to minimize the height of the wall, and you'll get the benefits of the height of the wall being minimized in halacha. And finally, the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Rav Nachman says the name of Rav Ravua, one last case. You have a ziz, hayotzi min hakosel. A ziz is a projection that comes out of the wall. Now, a projection that comes out of the wall, you can see this in Art Scroll footnote number 3 in the diagram there, or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 87 in diagram number 259, or you can see this in the Pirush Chai in page 159, diagram number 30. So you have this projection that's coming out from the wall, ziz hayotze min hakosel, so it's not touching the ground, and therefore this would be a miut shebaavir, which would not be good. However, it is dalet al dalet. It itself is four tvachim by four tvachim. And if you then put another ladder directly up against this, as you can see in the diagrams that I just mentioned in the Illustrated Gemara on page 87, diagram 259, or in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 30 on page 159, you don't have a diagram directly of this in the art scroll. It's close to it. And in fact, if you look at footnote number 10, and only look at the bottom part of the diagram, you can see the ladder going directly onto this projection. That's what we're talking about. The diagram that we have in diagram number 3, the ladder is going to the wall and not to the projection. That's actually no good. And that's what our Gemara is telling us right now. If you have hiniach olav sulam kolshu, if you have over here a sulam, a ladder, even if the ladder has no real four tefachim to it, the ladder is very narrow, but it goes up all the way to this projection and leans on the projection, also, miato, this will reduce the height of the wall in a halachic status, because all the rungs of the ladder are within three tefachim of each other, Rashi says, and therefore the principle of lovehood applies. The bottom rung is at least within three tefachim of the ground, so it's as if this projection is now like the top rung of the ladder that we had in the previous case that's four tefachim wide, and it's connected to the ground. However, the Gemara says, "Lo amarin ela da osve ale." As I pointed out, the ladder must lean on the projection, not onto the wall. If it leans onto the wall, abal osve ba'adei, if it's leaning onto the wall and not onto the ledge itself, not onto this projection, arvuche arvache, all it does is extend the projection, but it doesn't change the projection from being a miut ba'avir. And a miut ba'avir doesn't work. So the ladder in this situation must be directly onto the projection. As you can see this, again, in the art scroll, in the footnote number 10, the way the bottom rung is leaning onto the projection, and not the way it is in the diagram next to footnote number 3. In a very similar and related case, the Amar of Nachman, Amar of Aravua, if you have Kosel Tishasar, the wall is 19, and you're going to have two different projections coming out of it. This is the diagram that you can see in the art scroll in footnote number 10, and you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 87 in diagram number 261, and you can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 159 in diagram number 32. So you're basically going to have a stepwise series of ladders in this scenario. So you have the Kotel, the total height of the wall is Tishasar, 19 Tvachim. So Tzarech Ziz, Echod Lahatiro, you need one projection coming out of the wall to go and be matir, because all you need to do is put it up that it's, since the total is only 19, you can put it up at exactly 9.5 Tvachim, and this way the Kotel from the bottom is going to reach up to it, and is less than 10 tefachim to the top. So in this way, you've minimized the height of the wall to be less than 10 tefachim, because you're going from the projection up to the top, which is less than 10 tefachim. However, if the kotel is esrim, that's diagram number 10, that's the other diagrams that I just mentioned to you, so then in this situation, you're going to need two platforms, tzarech shnei zizim lahatiro, because you can't go all the way up to the top with just one platform, it won't minimize it to less than 10 tefachim. And here again, Rav Chisda adds, I'm Rav Chisda, v'ushemidan zeh shelo keneged zeh. You have to make sure that they're not directly one on top of the other, then it would not be good. So you have to have it going off on the side, as you can see from all of these diagrams. With this, we'll conclude today's share.